I want to invite you to think with me this morning about an unusual question. The question is this: is your life more like a dictionary or a novel? Now, I know that seems like a strange question. Sometimes I think I sit in my office with books all around me, and that view begins to affect me sometimes when I'm working on sermons. But I think this question is important. Humor me for just a little while this morning. Is your life more like a dictionary or like a novel? What is similar in these two kinds of books? Well, both books are full of words. Both books are nice to have. Both books can be educational. But there's at least one major difference between a dictionary and a novel. Someone has defined a dictionary as, quote, a book with an excellent vocabulary whose plot leaves something to be desired. In other words, a dictionary doesn't have a plot. But a novel is different, isn't it? In a novel, an author chooses, selects, carefully looks at particular words and connects those words together in such a way, in such an order, in such a sequence of events that in the hands of a great author, reading those words can keep us up into the wee hours of the night. Like a dictionary, a novel is full of words, but the words of a novel, they have a common purpose. They have a goal. The words of the novel are interconnected for a specific plan and purpose. You see, our lives can be like a dictionary. Our lives can be such that every event, every situation, every circumstance is unique in and of itself and interesting enough on its own, but not connected in any way to some greater good. But most of us do not want this kind of life. Most of us would prefer a life that is much more than just a collection of random experiences. We want to know that our successes and even our failures mean something. We want a life with a plot. We want our lives to be moving towards something meaningful and purposeful. A goal that is larger than ourselves. We want the events of our lives to be interrelated in such a way that that sequence forms meaning and purpose in our lives. You see, I think that's what was happening with the disciples in the upper room as they and Jesus gathered around that table. As they gathered around the table, just like we are doing this morning, Jesus was telling his disciples goodbye. In fact, he has just spoken those well-known and beloved words that we often hear at funerals. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, on and on, Jesus goes. He is saying goodbye to his disciples. And while Jesus is saying goodbye, the disciples are thinking to themselves, well wait a minute. What's the point of all this? Why did we spend the last 3 years with this guy if he's going to leave us now? What's the purpose? What's the bigger plan? Have these 3 years just been an isolated span of time where we spent with Jesus, but they're not connected to anything else? What's the plan? What's the purpose? If Jesus is leaving, what does all of this mean? Does my life have a plot? The disciples had left everything in order to follow Jesus, and now that he is saying goodbye to them, they don't want their commitment to be empty and void. They're thinking, my commitment has to mean something, doesn't it? The last 3 years with Jesus are not simply a disconnected phase of my life that have nothing to do with where my life is going. Weren't we all moving toward a purposeful goal? Doesn't my life have a plan and a purpose? And now, if Jesus is leaving, what is the plot of my life? These were their questions. But Jesus knew what the disciples were thinking. He knew what their questions were. So he says to them, Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. In fact, will do even greater things than what I've been doing, because I am going to the Father, and God will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. In so many words, Jesus is saying to the disciples, yes, your life has a plot. Your life continues to have meaning and purpose even after I leave. Why? Because, get this, because of the Holy Spirit. Once Jesus went to be with God, the Holy Spirit is the one who is now able to bring Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, right into the hearts of the disciples at any moment, at any time, wherever they are on earth, no matter what they are facing or experiencing. You see, Jesus becomes now, after he leaves, an even more intimate part of their lives than he had been before. Through the Holy Spirit, the disciples are giving meaning and power for the continued plot of their lives. It is the Holy Spirit that gives them the power to live by. This morning, as we gather around the table, Jesus wants us to know the same is true for your life today. We all need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We all need that intimate sense of God working within us, giving us the strength and the courage to face the circumstances of our lives. It is the Holy Spirit then that works within us, making our faith current and alive, giving us insights in the ways in which we should handle the events and circumstances of our lives. The Holy Spirit becomes our ever-present source of power. And in this sense, then, the Holy Spirit is the power of God working within us to guide us in the ways of Christ. The Holy Spirit then enables us to love and to experience wisdom of God on a daily basis, because the Holy Spirit makes our faith much more than just a list of facts or a list of statements that we are to believe. The Holy Spirit makes our faith a way of life, always ready for the situations and circumstances that we face. Always ready, the Holy Spirit is, to help us understand God's will for our lives. The Holy Spirit becomes our power to live by. You see, just as a dictionary needs an author to take the words that are inside this dictionary and to arrange them and structure them in such a way that they have meaning and purpose, so is true in our lives. The experiences of our lives also need an author, so that they become much more than just a jumble of loosely connected events. As we gather around the table this morning, what we acknowledge and affirm is that the author of our lives is the Holy Spirit. You see, we are not here this morning simply because we heard the story of Jesus. We are here this morning because that story has changed us. We are here this morning because that story, the understanding of God so loving the world that he sent his one and only Son to us, that story changed our lives, allowing Christ to live within us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit becomes that intimate reality of God within us today that is just as present for us today as Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples some 2,000 years ago. You see, the beauty of what we read in John chapter 14 is this. It is the Holy Spirit that becomes the source of power in our life. It is the Holy Spirit that takes the stories we read in the Bible and burns them into the fabric of our lives, so that those stories are no longer just quaint tales from long ago, but instead those stories in Scripture become our stories. We see how we live in the same way as those who have gone before us, being guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, who challenges us and affirms us and gives us the power by which we live. The Holy Spirit is the author, writing the novel, the plot of our lives. And just like when we read a novel by an author whom we trust, when the Holy Spirit is the author of our lives, we know that eventually we will see how all of the puzzling and seemingly disconnected incidences in our lives, we will see how they all fit together in the plot that the Holy Spirit is writing. They have a purpose. They guide us and direct the plots of our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that connects us with the story of God and gives us exactly what we need. You see, the gift of the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit takes God's amazing transforming power and gives it to us in just the right amount, at the right time in our life, so that we have the power by which to live. Chuck Swindoll, a minister and an author, writes about his understanding of how the Spirit works in this way in our life. He says, "One Christmas, I gave myself an HO gauge train. I put my son's name on it, but really it was a gift for me," he says. "We had a great time putting the train together, and there's a little tiny unit called a transformer on that train set. What the transformer does," he says, "is it breaks down the 110 volts from the wall to an even smaller amount. Why, if you plugged straight into the 110 outlet," he said, "the thing would go psst for 1 second, and then it would be burned to a crisp. But the transformer breaks down the electricity into little amounts for that tiny train, for a small engine, so small it could be held in your fist. And it enables the train to just putt, putt, putt around the track and to entertain me," he says, "for hours on end. All because there's a little transformer that dispenses the energy in the level that it is needed. When the Holy Spirit," the transformer, he says, "comes, the Holy Spirit takes the majestic truth of God and dispenses it in our lives just the way we need it. It gives you just what you need to handle the situations of your life. It is the Spirit's delight to take the full truth of God and to make one thing meaningful for that woman, something altogether different for that man, something different again for that fellow down there," he says. "That's the work of the Spirit. And the Spirit never makes a mistake. He gives you just what you can handle and ties it all together for the plot of your life." You see, the reality for us this morning is we can live our lives like a dictionary, where every incident and every situation is simply isolated from one another and has no meaning or greater purpose for the way we live. That's living life without the Spirit of God. But for the Christian, life can be like a novel. For the Spirit of God can take the events and circumstances of our lives and connect them together in a meaningful way for the story of the purposes that God is using in our lives, giving us just what we need exactly when we need it in the right amount. In these confusing, troubling, messed up situations of our world today, the reminder today is that the Holy Spirit is the author of our lives, and it gives us the power by which we live. Join me as we pray together. Oh God, on this day we are grateful for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence and your love that is real and powerful in our lives and comes to us in just the right amounts at just the right times to give us meaning and purpose for the living of every day. Lord, as we gather around this table this morning, Help us to bring to you all of the isolated events and situations, feelings and thoughts that surround us every day of our lives. Help us to bring them all to you, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you may provide us with meaning and purpose for the living of these days. Grant us your power and your strength as we gather around your table. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.